Welcome to the Productivity Show by Asian Efficiency, helping you do more and be better. And now here's your host, Zachary Sexton.
You are tuned into the Productivity Show by Asian Efficiency. My name is Zachary Sexton, and today I have with me, once again, to talk about email, once again, Mike Schmitz.
Hey, Zach, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. I know you actually were able to play with a new app before we got on this, so we'll be talking about those tools towards the end that you could use, especially for all you out there like myself who was using Mailbox for their email on their phone. But we're going to be talking about specifically today processing your email on your smartphone, on your mobile phone. And we were just looking some numbers up beforehand and trying to figure out what the average was. Basically, over half the emails are looked up on your phone. So if you are one of the many people who check email on your phone, you're in the majority. I believe the number for Asian Efficiency is in the 60s. 60% of people open up our emails on a mobile device. We know that there's just statistics that we can see on our back end. And what was it? It was like 53 was one number, 67 was another number.
Yep.
So there's a few different numbers out there for how many people actually process their email or at least open their email. They might be not be processing it, but open their email on mobile devices. So since this is such a big topic, we decided to narrow it down specifically. So we've talked about email best practices before, episode 16, and just very recently in episode 76. But today we're going to drill down on actually doing it on your mobile device because there are more effective and less effective ways to do it. And Mike, I'm going to just treat you as the expert here because you are the expert in this field. I don't always process it very effectively on my phone. So I'm looking forward to what we're gonna talk about and learn about over the next 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, awesome. So should we just jump in and talk about the problem, I guess, with some of the statistics that we have here in the outline?
Yeah, let's do that. Why don't you outline some of those statistics, especially this first one, which is just... I was a little bit unbelieving. I was like, where'd you get this stat from, Mike? But you broke it down a little bit more. So can you talk about how much time actually people spend in email on the daily basis?
Yeah. This is according to a Huffington Post article, which quotes an online survey, and I couldn't find the specific source of the survey, but it said that of the people surveyed, on average, people spent 6.3 hours per day in email, which sounds like a ridiculous amount, but it's really not when you think about how we deal with email and specifically how we deal with email on our smartphones. And we'll get into this in a little bit, but basically the smartphone is a portal that you always have with you. So the temptation is to pull it out of your pocket and check something, check your social media, or in this case, specifically with this episode, we're talking about checking your email. And in the same survey, the majority of people, actually the first thing they do when they wake up in the morning is they grab their phone and they check their email, which we've talked at length about on the Asian Efficiency blog and the Productivity Blueprint and on this show about how that's one of the worst things that you can do because the minute that you open up your email inbox, you're now at the mercy of everybody else who is demanding your time. You don't have control anymore. You have opened up the portal and you are now responding to what other people are claiming is important. So we have to recognize that that is going to happen the moment that we open our email. And then we have to recognize that our tendency is to pull our smartphone out of our pocket or purse or wherever you keep it and check our email. Because Americans spend, this is another study, 4.7 hours per day on their phone. So you're spending a lot of time on your phone. You're spending a lot of time in your email. These two are naturally going to converge and intersect. And you're going to be spending, if you're not careful, a lot of time dealing with email on your smartphone. But also the smartphone's not necessarily the best place to do that. And we'll talk about that in a little bit as well.
So Mike, you say people start their day with email. Why do you think they're tempted to do that?
Because we are afraid of what might be in there. a lot of times we don't receive those emails that are super important, but just the fact that they might be in there and the fact that we don't have it open necessarily all the time and we can't just have a constant monitor of what is going on. Not that we would want to do that anyways, because that is going to prevent us from really entering in and doing deep work. But it's the fear of the unknown, or it's the fear of missing out, which a lot of people will call FOMO, where you don't want to miss anything. And just by opening up the portal, though, even if there's nothing important, even if there's nothing that you're missing out on in there, you can't control, oh, I'm only going to divert a little bit of my attention and my focus to this thing, and I'm still going to hold on to the rest of it for this other important task. Like, it doesn't work that way. Multitasking doesn't work. So that's the tendency, but we have to fight the tendency. We have to fight that natural instinct to just open it up and see what's going on.
So can you tell me about a time when either you or somebody you know was getting out of that habit? Because as you know, rituals are not always easy to form, but then once they do, they stick with you for a long time. So if your morning ritual is to open up your email, is there any way to break that pattern?
You just have to consciously be aware of it and fight it. I still deal with it because I did that for years, especially in my previous work. We were working on a software development project, and we had a team that was all over the world that was collaborating on this thing. And the first thing that I would want to do when I got up in the morning is open up my email and see what the team had gotten done while I was asleep. But the reality is that by doing that, I wasn't really actually being any more productive, even though I was aware of maybe some things that had gone on. What frequently happened was something didn't go on according to specifications or quite up to where we wanted it. So that sort of ate at me until I could get to the office and deal with it. And what I kind of slowly learned and rationalized in my own head was, why even open that until you get to the office where you actually can deal with it? Why should I be thinking about that for the 3 hours before I get to the office when it's not really going to produce any additional value to the project?
Cool. So you just logically came to the conclusion, oh, okay, this is 2 or 3 hours of me ruminating over an issue, and then made that transition?
Kind of. I mean, there's a saying that goes, when pain is sufficient, change will come. And so that's kind of the point that I got to, is like, I was stressed out. I was overtired. Just felt like I was at the end of my rope, kind of in terms of my emotional state. And when that happens, you go back and you look at, what are the contributing factors to this? How can I fix this? And I was an Asian Efficiency customer. I was going through the Productivity Blueprint, which has an email management module in it, and I was learning a lot of stuff, and I was like, yeah, that makes total sense. So I just started applying some of it and saw some immediate gains, which, you know, there's other episodes devoted to that. But this specifically, I want to talk about, you know, your mobile device, because the mobile device is always accessible. And if you have your sound on, it's always got an opportunity to notify you and break your concentration.
Before diving quite into the mobile part, because you can open up your laptop too in the morning and be distracted by the same thing. It's just, the smartphones are so much easier. So you changed your habit. Did you have any negative fallout? Because I think a lot of people, that FOMO, that they feel like, you know, they'll miss something and they'll come into work and they'll be behind the ball. Did you have any negative repercussions? Even though you had a lot of positive ones, can you speak to that?
Yeah, the fear was there that was going to happen, but in reality, that's not what happened at all. The reality was that no negative ramifications happened when I stopped checking my email before I got to the office. And that's what a lot of people think, and that's what a lot of people will be surprised to find if they start doing the same thing.
Cool. So let's talk about some strategies to eliminate these quick checks.
Yeah. And actually, Sean Blanc is the one who I heard use this term first. He calls it the just checks. And so it's not just checking your phone the moment that you wake up in the morning. It could also be pulling out your phone when you're in line at the store, when you're stopped at a red light, literally anywhere where you have a few spare moments. And all those moments add up. They add up to the 4.7 hours per day that Americans spend on their smartphones. So we have to recognize that just because our mind is not immediately preoccupied with something, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But the natural tendency is to just fill that with information, whether it be social media or whether it be email. The problem, well, there's a couple problems here. The first one is that by making sure that your mind is always preoccupied with something, you're actually training it to not be able to actually concentrate or focus on something for an extended period of time and actually do deep work. That alone is enough for me to stop and think about what I'm doing. But if it's, even if that isn't enough for you, the real place where the rubber meets the road is that all of these just checks, they're short and they typically don't give you enough time to actually do anything. So when you're dealing with your email specifically, you might have a few moments while you're standing in line at the store. You pull out your phone, you check your email, you might see some stuff that's in there. But what are you actually going to do with that? You're not going to most likely sit down and reply to an email. You're not going to sit down and send files to somebody from your smartphone most likely if you're in that setting. So what you do is you look at it and you make a mental note of it. And then you put your phone back in your pocket. But that attention, that focus that you put on that email doesn't go back to what you were doing previously. When you look at it, you don't deal with it. Part of your brain is going to stay on that open loop in that email. That's called attention residue, as Cal Newport talks about in his book, Deep Work. So when we actually deal with email, let's deal with it. And let's eliminate all these quick glances just to see what's in there, all of the just checks, so to speak.
Okay. And with these quick checks, is there any sort of practice that are you or setting changes that you can make to avoid being tempted?
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about these in some of those previous episodes, but one of the things that Tan recommended, and he's spot on, is that you should use pull instead of push notifications. And what that means is that you don't get your email until you actually open your email application. And what that prevents is the notifications that will go off saying you have 13 unread emails. As soon as you see that red badge, you want to go in there, if you're like me anyways, and you want to start clearing that stuff. So that's the first thing you can do, is switch from push to pull. And then also turn off the notifications. So I actually don't have any email notifications on my iPhone at all. I don't have the red badge. I don't get the little text notifications whenever I get an email, even from people who would be classified as VIPs. So like Mail has a feature, and actually Airmail, which we'll talk about in a little bit, has a feature where you can identify senders as VIPs. I don't even use those because I don't want to even think about email until it is actually time to do so. And I'm actually in a place where I can devote some cognitive resources to dealing with that stuff. So those are the two biggest things I would say, is make sure that you're only getting your email when you want to get your email. And then second, make sure that those notifications aren't interrupting any state of flow that you might be in.
One of the things where you mentioned a little bit earlier was if you're just checking your email, you aren't actually able to respond or send whatever information that the person wants. Is there any role for your phone in email, or should you just take it off?
Well, I guess that depends on who you would ask. I know I talked to Mike Vardy, and he's got a strategy where he has these different technologies. He's got an iPad, he's got an iPhone, he's got his Mac, and they all have specific roles in his workflow. So you could definitely just deal with email on your computer potentially, and you might see absolutely no negative consequences from just receiving email on your desktop or your laptop. The real thing though is that you have to know what the platforms are good at. Macs and desktops, laptops are great for sending files to different people and for really sitting down and hammering through stuff, really processing your inbox so that you can get to inbox zero, make sure that everything is filed away where it's supposed to be. We talk a lot about that too, having a system. So if you got an email that you got to do something with, you make sure that that ends up in OmniFocus. If you got a date or a calendar appointment, like that has to go onto your calendar before you just archive that email. But the touch interface of the smartphone, if the app is designed well, that's actually a great interface for triaging. So Dispatch, Airmail, I know there's a couple others too that you can actually swipe left to right and also right to left, and you can assign the different swipe gestures things. So it has to, before that can be effective though, it has to integrate with the other tools that you're going to use. So I mentioned the task manager. For me, that would be OmniFocus. You might also have reference files. Maybe you want to store some information. So that might be Evernote. And there are a couple apps that integrate with those other productivity tools, but that's really going to be essential when you're selecting the right app to use for processing email on your phone. Because like I said, you don't want to sit down and write a big long email on your phone. It's not great for that, but it can be really, really effective for triaging.
Can you tell me what your triage looks like?
Yeah, I personally use an app called Dispatch, and I basically just have a couple swipe actions set up, one to delete, one to archive. But if there's an email that I want to know more about, I'll click on it or press on it, I guess, open up the email. And then from there, Dispatch has a lot of powerful features where you can send it to whatever productivity app you're going to use. So I know it integrates with OmniFocus. I think it probably integrates with like Things and Wunderlist and places like that.
Do you ever sit down on your mobile device and like process it, just like, because that's kind of what I do before I get on my email client, as I'll go through there and, you know, let's say I've got something from Mike Vardy or something from Joe Buhlig or something like that. I'll go through and then I'll like swipe through those really quickly, read them and take like 15 minutes to do that. And then I'll go on and do like the heavy duty processing. Let's say somebody writes me an email about the podcast or something like that, and I will I'll take, you know, 5 minutes to do a written response. Do you have anything that looks like that for you for the mobile device?
Well, the great part about the mobile device is that you do always have it with you, so you can, no matter where you are, pull it out and process email. You just have to have the right mindset when you go in there. But with triaging on your mobile device, if I am in the car on the way to going someplace with my family and we were going on a field trip, whatever, my wife is driving, I can triage my email and I can make sure that the ones that I need to respond to get to OmniFocus. I can make sure that all of the appointments that are set via email get to my calendar. And then I can still apply the principle that we talk about where I'm only touching it once. But that's what mine looks like. And I like Dispatch for a couple reasons. One, it's a universal app. So if you buy it, you can actually use it on your iPhone and your iPad as well. Like I said, it integrates with a lot of the productivity apps that are out there. It integrates with Fantastical and lots of other stuff. But it also supports the X callback URL scheme, which is going to get really nerdy, I know. But what it does is it allows you to string together actions. So as an example, I have an email that I have to send every Sunday morning to my pastor. I've mentioned before that I play on the worship team at my church. So I have to send the list of the songs that we are going to play for the Sunday morning service every morning before I get there. And we keep the song list in a Google Doc. And so I will copy that song list from the Google Doc. And then using Launch Center Pro, I can launch an action which automates the rest of it. So what it does is it will create an email in Dispatch. It will send it to the appropriate people. It'll insert the subject line, Sunday AM set list, and it will then paste the song list in the email message. And all I have to do is press send. And that type of stuff, I have only been able to do with Dispatch.
Nice. So it's almost like it has a little automated text expander template already built in there that you just build out. Do you build all those workflows out on the phone itself, or do you do it on the computer and then use it on the phone?
Yeah, it's actually all done on the phone, and it's done using that X callback URL scheme, which, like I said, is pretty technical, but that's the way that you tie different apps together at the moment on iOS. And Launch Center Pro is great because you can actually use the Action Composer to develop those. You don't have to know all of the code. You can say, I want to send an email. I want this to be the subject line. I want it to go to these people. And Launch Center Pro will write the code for you. So all you have to do is open up Launch Center Pro and press the action, or with the new version of Launch Center Pro with the 3D touch enabled, you just 3D touch on the icon, select the action. So it's literally one press and then everything is taken care of. So yeah, it's kind of like Text Expander or Keyboard Maestro for your iOS device. But in my experience, Dispatch is the only one that really does that well. The one negative with Dispatch that I recently found is that it does not support sending to the new top level domains. So for example, somebody has a .marketing email address. You cannot send to that email address, even though it is a valid email address. Dispatch will tell you that it's not valid. And even if you have a message in your inbox from somebody with that domain, you can't even reply to it. So I've reached out to the developer and I'm hoping that they fix that, because that is the one thing I do not like about Dispatch.
Top level domain. So can you give me an example of an email address that would look like that?
Yeah, well, if you were to go to Hover or whatever domain registrar you're looking for, like ours is asianefficiency.com, you might have asianefficiency.productivity, okay, or .marketing or .coffee or fill in the blanks. Recently, they opened up a whole bunch of new top level domains like that. So all of those are domains that can have an email address associated with them. So if we had asianefficiency.productivity, your email address might be zachary@asianefficiency.productivity. But Dispatch, because it's not a .com or a .net or a .edu or a .org, it's going to see .productivity and say, this is not a valid email address, and it won't let you send it.
So Mike, are there any other mobile apps that you'd recommend?
Yeah, I've been playing around with AirMail, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, which is a fairly new iPhone email client. It's iPhone only, but it is really, really well designed. So it's very much in the same design direction as the Mac app. And it also integrates with a lot of productivity apps that I mentioned. So OmniFocus, Fantastical, Evernote, Dropbox, Google Drive. It actually has a ton of integrations. It also has a ton of settings, like a ridiculous amount of settings. So unless you're really an email nerd, you're probably not going to want to mess with those, but you can customize every single piece of the app in terms of like different types of swipes. So if you swipe from left to right or right to left, like I mentioned earlier with Dispatch, where you can delete or archive, it actually has different sensitivity points. So if you swipe a little bit, it'll be one thing. If you swipe all the way, it'll be another thing. I think Mailbox also had something similar to that. So you can really program four different swipe gestures and you can choose whatever you want. You could have it be delete, you could have it be archive, you could have it be star, you could have it be send to a specific application. So AirMail, the great thing about this is that you can really dial it in just the way you want it and really make it fit into whatever your personal system is going to look like. Because that's the key part here, is that these apps have to fit into your personal system. If they don't fit into your personal system, they're going to cause friction and you're just not going to deal with stuff. You're going to end up going back to just checking things. The one thing I don't like about AirMail is that it does not have an iPad app and it does not integrate with some of the more nerdy stuff like the Launch Center Pro stuff. Not going to be a big deal for maybe a lot of people, but it is really easy to use and it's really easy to set up. In fact, if you use AirMail for Mac, it can even sync your accounts via iCloud. So all you have to do is select the accounts that you want to appear in your iOS device and they're there.
Nice, nice. Giving me a good chance to play with a new app. I'd been using Spark when Mailbox started going down, but AirMail looks very similar, and that swipe feature is what I really like as far as triaging goes, because you gave that good example of, hey, you're in the car, you do have some time to focus your attention to get those calendar invites in there, or to go through some newsletters that you like to read, or maybe swipe some things into your task manager. So I'm looking forward to playing with AirMail a little bit more, but I know you just got the app, and I loved what you said about making sure that processing your email works in your overall bigger personal system. Can you tell me how you're integrating that in now and what that process looks like?
Well, like I mentioned, I'm still using Dispatch. Dispatch is the app that I will use probably for the foreseeable future, because I'm an email nerd and it integrates with Launch Center Pro. So I can automate a lot of the lengthy emails that I would have to send, and it allows me to do that type of stuff from my iOS device when I can't get to my Mac. But AirMail is a great option if you're looking for a powerful email client on iOS that's also easy to use and looks really nice.
All right, so we've kind of gone over the high level, which is that that people spend a ridiculous amount of time on email every day, and the big problem on how just those quick checks, those just checks, add up and aren't very useful, because you look at it, you don't do anything, and then you look at it again, and then you don't do anything. You look at it again, you don't do anything. So that's one way to get over it. Knowing the role of your email client is another. You know, it's not the place to do the heavy duty processing, but you could do some quick triage, as you're calling it. And there's some recommended apps, so Dispatch, and if you're going to get nerdy, and AirMail if you need something that looks nice, or if you're like me who just lost Mailbox, something that has that similar easy swipe feature that allows you to process emails a little bit quicker and a little bit more efficiently, also with some integrations with different apps.
Yeah, and Spark is a good email client too. I've used that in the past. The reason I don't personally use Spark is that a lot of the features of Spark, like the quick responses, which are great, those rely on, once again, getting a little bit technical, but we talked about this in the Dojo email module. The way that apps do that is they create additional IMAP folders. So basically, it's just extra folders that get added to your email system. And you may not even know that they're there when you're using that particular application. But when you go into Mail on your Mac, for example, you'll see a whole bunch of folders and you'll be like, what are these for? They're probably because you installed that app and you're using those features. That's the way that works. So not a deal breaker. But that's personally, I like to keep my stuff as lean and clean as possible. So that's why I personally don't use Spark. But if you want something that allows you to just real quickly, with a touch of a button, send an email saying, yeah, I got your email, like, you should definitely check it out, because it is a very well-designed app as well.
Yeah. And what I've been liking about Spark, because that's what I went to and I'm using right now, is if I want to link to something from Evernote, it allows me to do that, or from Drive. So some of those emails that I used to have to do on my computer, I could actually do on my mobile device now, because it's easy to say, oh, okay, I've got this resource that I want to share with you. Here it is. Or before, I would have to be using my computer for that. And I did not know about those IMAP folders. I did go through your email dojo training, and I only just realized after the fact, after Mailbox went down for me, I had all these folders that I did not need. And so I had to go through and delete them in both my personal and my work email. And I was like, okay, yeah, I get what Mike's saying. This is a little bit of extra clutter, and there was some old emails hiding in there. And so avoiding that will make things a little bit cleaner when you're jumping around, maybe if the app goes away, or if you're just jumping from your computer to your mobile device, it makes things sync up a little bit nicer and a little bit smoother.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, cool. Thank you. I really appreciate this. It's been good to get your insights on it, and to kind of see how you process things. So the 6.3 hours a day, what do you think you're at as far as email goes?
My goal is 30 minutes, and it's totally doable if you approach your email the right way. But you do have to have a solid system, and you have to know how to use the tools that you have at your disposal, which is why processing email on your mobile device is so important.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Mike. And this is episode 79. So if you want to see the links to some of those tools that we mentioned, as well as the show notes, just head on over to theproductivityshow.com/79, and we'll also have links to our previous email episodes if you wanted to go on a email deep dive in episode 16 and 76. So thanks for coming on, Mike, and thanks everybody out there for listening. We'll see you next Productive Monday.